Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Amaral Kaufman. I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a special community of bloggers and podcasters that is capturing the heart of America. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that's just right for you. And today's guest is Natasha Case. She's co-founder of Cool House, architecturally inspired gourmet ice cream. Since their launch at Coachella in 2009, Cool House has grown from one truck to five cities and is carried in 1,500 stores like Whole Foods across America. Yahoo has called Cool House the best ice cream in America, and Natasha helped you recreate their delectable desserts in her new book, Cool House Ice Cream Book. So welcome, Natasha.
Thank you so much. Fantastic to be here.
Well, we are glad to have you. So explain to our listeners a little bit about Cool House, how it got started, where the concept came from, and how you've grown so far so fast.
Yeah. So actually, my background is in architecture, and my business partner, Freya Estreller, is real estate development. And for me, I started getting interested in kind of incorporating food into the architecture and design dialogue. Back when I was in grad school. So I started doing a lot of projects just kind of to, I think, open up like the architecture discourse with food and make it fun and accessible. And one of the first projects I did was ice cream and cookies made from scratch in classic flavors like, snickerdoodle plus strawberry ice cream, or something more adventurous like chocolate chip cookies and brown butter candy bacon ice cream. And I would name those combinations after architects. Kind of as like a punny, you know, just silly, humorous project, like an art project. The snickerdoodle and strawberry was the Frank Berry. The bacon one was Louis Vuitton, you know, so we would have fun with that. And when I met Freya, we really thought, you know, putting our heads together and our skill set together, this could actually be a real, you know, business concept. And we started, you know, to just kind of think about how we would enter the market, and what the channels would be, what it would look like, and, you know, what we could afford to do. This is back in 2008 with the recession just setting in. So, you know, we continued to work our other jobs for a little bit in architecture and real estate, but started to kind of, you know, look into getting a food truck on the side. So we got like a beat up postal van that we could convert into an ice cream truck. And we started thinking about scaling how to make the product, ice cream and cookies. And basically launched at Coachella in 2009, the big music festival east of LA. And just the response was unbelievable, both from, you know, immediate sales and PR, kind of blogger love, viral media. There was just an instant, I think, audience for like the, you know, reinvented ice cream truck with the gourmet flavors and with this kind of quirky architecture theme. So we just continued to grow based on demand, as you mentioned, being in the different cities with trucks or storefronts or carts, LA, Dallas, Austin, and New York right now, and then getting distribution in all these markets like Whole Foods, Sprouts, Fresh Direct, Earth Fair, just lots of great retail partners around the country, not to mention hotels and restaurants like Umami Burger, or, you know, other kind of sports and music venues like the LA Forum here in LA were sold it as well. So it's just really, really expanded from a very, you know, at home in the kitchen place. It's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. So you were basically immediately validated, right? You're like, oh, this is great. People love it. It's catching fire. And so when you realize that and you're like, okay, we have the one truck, and then you've decided to expand. Talk about the decision to do that. And then, of course, I'm sure, you know, did you leave your career at that point? What and what can you tell other people who have an idea and are kind of fearful to go after it?
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, I continued with another kind of more stable job for a little while. And Freya actually didn't leave her other job for about 2 years of after Cool House launched. So I would say, you know, that was helpful. And one of us did need to attend to it full time pretty soon based on like the demand and response we were getting early on. But her waiting to also commit full time helps just mitigate the risk. You know, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket immediately, especially with a food concept, because just the numbers of running a successful food business are really hard. Like, it's, you know, it can definitely be a labor of love for a long time before you can turn a profit. And even then, the margins are just challenging. The other thing I would say is, I mean, you have to just, if it's something you really want to do, no matter what, you're going to have to go for it and just try it. And that's the only real test of the success of a product. But you can be smart about, you know, doing a lot of market research, taking calculated risks, thinking about who your audience is going to be, what they're willing to pay, how you're going to reach them, really vetting the concept and asking the right questions before you just jump into something. And I think a good way to do that, you can start with your warm circle, you know, family and friends. Fran and I used to have ice cream and cookie parties where we would ask people to fill out like anonymous surveys afterward to tell us how they thought they were, because no one wants to tell you to your face if it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we would go kind of outward from there and keep kind of expanding the circle in terms of testing the product. The last thing I'll say is you don't have to launch with the like finished perfect concept. I think it's better. Like for us, we almost launched with like 65 to 70% of what we thought we would be. And then we let that last 30% come after we had response from the public about what they liked and what they wanted to buy and what they wanted more of. So it's okay to like not have it be how you're envisioning it right from that first moment. You should try to get some cash flow happening, and you can use that to really kind of perfect the product, you know, as it's already kind of existing in the marketplace.
So speaking of perfecting your product, ice cream. I mean, everyone loves ice cream. Kids love ice cream. Adults love ice cream. It's so nostalgic. And I think it's amazing that you guys have brought this, all this other creative stuff into the fold. What is the process for you guys in creating the new flavors? And how do you know? Do you do a lot of market testing? You mentioned you get a lot of feedback that people are going to love it.
Yeah. I think, you know, we create the new flavors different ways. Sometimes it's just sort of keeping a pulse on what the contemporary palate is, you know, what people are liking and where, what direction tastes are headed in. For example, I think there's been a big movement towards, you know, salty, more savory desserts that are more complex than just sweet on sweet. So we really try to push the envelope there with things like the brown butter candy bacon ice cream around the time we started. But then, to be honest, bacon became almost a mainstream dessert concept. So we sort of said, how can we push this further? What's the next, you know, how can we bring another savory in, that people aren't expecting into dessert? And we made our fried chicken and waffles ice cream with fried chicken caramel. So sometimes it's just about kind of testing the boundaries of people's, you know, interests. We also have a lot of clients that commission flavors from us. I've had different, you know, celebrities, for example, wanted to do a custom flavor for a party, and then we keep that flavor on the menu because people like it. Or I've created like themed flavors for entertainment purposes. Like we did a sandwich for Showtime's Dexter finale season last year, which was called the Killer Combo. You have to be careful with the whole murder theme. But it was two different cookies, like the two sides of Dexter, because he's like a good and a, you know, a good guy and a killer. And then a Tahitian vanilla bean with a bloody cherry swirl. So that one we ended up, you know, making prepackaged also and putting in supermarkets. And it was just, it's just been in such high demand ever since we launched it that we continue selling it far beyond when we originally planned. So sometimes, you know, a client will inspire you to do something unique and creative with ice cream and cookies.
And Natasha, finally, why don't you tell our listeners what they can expect in the new book, the Cool House Ice Cream book? You're talking about all these flavors, and it's almost like, wow,
yeah.
Did someone actually make this themselves?
Absolutely. I mean, I do not have a culinary formal training. If I can do it, you can do it, is how we feel about the book. Also, the, you know, we recommend a particular ice cream maker, this Cuisinart ice cream maker that works really well. It's a gel canister style that you can get for like, you know, $50 from a Williams Sonoma or Sur La Table. So it's, you know, for an affordable price, you could also get an ice cream machine and start to experiment. But the book is really special to us because I mentioned starting in the kitchen and making things from scratch. And that's what we originally did. And then, you know, we've grown a lot and we have different level of, you know, production now for, you know, getting product to all these markets. But in order to do the cookbook, we actually had to go back to the kitchen and retest all the recipes and, you know, redo everything on the at-home scale. So it's kind of like the book represents like full circle for us. that it's kind of going back into the kitchen at home and really realizing, like, these are, you know, amazing flavors that we make for Cool House, but you really can make them at home. And they're not, you know, it's not, you have to obviously be committed to making them, but I really think that anyone who just reads the book and listens to our tips can do it. And you, people will be blown away when you serve homemade ice cream for a dinner party or for your family or friends. It's just, people don't expect it. And it seems like such a, you know, above and beyond thing, but yet it can be a very everyday thing. And it can be very functional. If you have fruit that's like about to go bad, you know, that's a perfect thing for a sorbet. So you can also use it in a very sustainable way as well, making these ice creams and sorbets.
Well, this sounds fun and fantastic, and I know we can't wait to see the book when it's out about May 20th, and our listeners can learn more all about Natasha Case and, of course, her co-founder, Cool House, and the new book, Cool House Ice Cream Book, custom-built sandwiches with crazy good combos of cookies, ice creams, gelatos, and sorbets. You can visit their website at eatcoolhouse.com, and that's eatcool, C-O-O-L, house, H-A-U-S, eatcoolhouse.com. Thank you, Natasha.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
This podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm Annie Jennings PR, the creator of Jennings Wire Online Magazine. Jennings Wire is capturing the heart of America with its rich community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers and podcasters. So please visit JenningsWire.com and discover the blogger that's just right for you. Till next time.